Good morning. Happy New Year. Man, y'all can do better than that. Let's try that again. Happy New Year. All right. Good stuff. Man, excited that you're with us today. We're going to do some fun things together. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and grab them. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to begin a brand new series this morning for the next 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, and I'll explain that in a minute. A couple quick things before we get started. I'm really excited about some new stuff's going on. We're kicking off our classes tomorrow night, and I'll say more about this one in just a moment. But next Sunday night at 5 o'clock, Melvin Klein is going to be teaching a study on end time prophecy. And so if you're wondering about how things are going to be, if you got any questions about the end times, Melvin has all the answers. So he's turning red out there. But if you're looking for something to do on Sunday night, next Sunday at 5 o'clock in the choir room behind me, we're going to kick off that study on the end times. And, I'm excited. I know Melvin's excited, looking forward to teaching that. And, really, if you have some questions, and you probably do, they're going to kick around some of the issues and hopefully some of the answers. Second thing, I'm very excited tonight, at 5 o'clock, my wife Elisa and I, we are hosting a gathering for young married, for newlyweds, early weds, and I know I have talked to 5 or 6 or 7 of you couples, but if you're here, if you're an early wed, been married a year or two, or a newlywed, and you would like to join us, please see me after the service. We're going to have a great time together as we just kick around the idea of starting a group and studying the Word. So I'm very excited about that. So young marrieds, if you don't have the info, I'll be here at the front of church. Would love to chat with you. Now then, let's get down to business. In just a few days, our president is going to give a State of the Union address, and it'll be interesting to see what it's like. It's always interesting when our president speaks, but it'll be really interesting this year. But he and his speech writers will come up with something. They'll pontificate about how things are good and different. But in the context of all that, they're going to try to they're going to answer the question, are things the same now than they were last year, or are things different? And I suspect they're going to say things are better. But the real issue is are they the same or are they different? And I don't know what it looks like in your life, but if you watch any of the news, the politics are going to be a little different, I think, this year. If you've looked at your retirement in the last couple of weeks or months, things are different, right? I mean, I looked at the end of September, and then I looked at this week, and I was like, wow, things are different, you know. But I don't want to get into politics, surprisingly, but I'm not going to get into politics today. So I want to get personal for a minute. When you look at your life, if you were to give a state of your life address this morning, if you had to stand here or somewhere and say, okay, here's the state of my life, would it be the same as it was last January, or is it different? Is your life the same, or is it different? Is it better or worse? Are you bigger or smaller? Are you more godlike or less godlike, or the same amount of godlike? Is it more satisfying? Is it less satisfying? If you were to evaluate, and if you were to say, okay, here's my life, compared to last year, my life is blank, what would you say? Is it the same or different? Now, to help you, I brought some, you know, if we're going to know, are we the same or different, if we're going to know if we're better or worse or bigger or smaller, we need a few pieces of equipment, right? And so I brought a few things. I don't know what I have here, but I have a blood pressure cuff. And I'm familiar with one of these, not these, but I got the machine at home. But if you want to know if you ate too much of the wrong stuff last week, last month, or last year, then this will help tell you that. Now, if we had Dr. Sue to come up here, she could take this stethoscope and she could listen to your heart and she could tell you, are you exercising? She could probably say, okay, things are good or not good, or I'm hearing something or not something. So that would help. But then we also have over here, and I've had several comments on this. My daughter actually said, hey, Dad, don't call me up there to watch. So I just thought, people say they're not going to stand on it. I thought, as a pastor, I should never ask you to do anything that I'm not willing to do, right? So I'm going to get on the scales here. We're going to look at the news, and I'm telling you, wow. Two thirteen. Now somebody said I weighed 175. Thank you, Wade. You made my day. Now these boots are really heavy. They are weighted, right? I mean, they're like heavy. If I took them off, I'd be like 198. No, not really. But if you now after the service, you're free to come up here and so if you want to know if you ate, now the blood pressure tells you did you eat the wrong stuff or helps tell you that. This tells you if you ate too much of either the right stuff or the wrong stuff. And then I got Dr. Sue to give me this little thing here. And, if you really want to know the truth, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to turn around backwards. But if you want to know if you're bigger or smaller, then you step on these or you wrap this around you. If you want to know you're better or worse physically, then you listen to your heart or you check out your blood pressure. Or Barry's got his Fitbit on, and I don't have a Fitbit, but I think Barry's got his. And, you know, if you got your little Fitbit, it tells you, well, you made this many steps today, or this is your heart rate and all this kind of different stuff. And so, but if you want to know how you're doing physically, you got to do some evaluating. Now, I got one of them injector things that you inject your turkey with. I started to bring it up here and say, if you really want to know how you're doing, you take blood. Because if you got the doctor, what's the first thing they're going to do? In fact, if you schedule a physical, they're probably going to tell you to come in and do what first? Blood work. Because they can find all this stuff out about your blood. Do you know why that's true? This is not in the sermon notes, but I just want you to know this. Everybody thinks the Bible is not accurate scientifically. Did you know, I think it's Leviticus 17, God forbids his people to drink the blood. You know why? Because he says the life is in the blood. When you go to the doctor and they want to know what is going on in your life physically, what do? They go to the blood. Why? Because the life, the message of your life is revealed in your blood. And that's a scriptural, that's a biblical truth. And so I say all that to say, are you the same or different? Now, the amazing thing is, people think about this, and January is the time where we think about, well, how much do I weigh, or how's my diet looking? And so we say, okay, next year I want to be different, or this year I want it to be different. So in January, that's when we decide to cut out this, or we're going to stop doing that, or we're going to go to the gym, and you know, the gyms fill up in January. You know, if you're in the gym business, this is the best month. Now, I went this week, and it wasn't too bad at 6 o'clock. A few new faces. But Thursday night, I drove by Planet Fitness, man, and it was crazy full in the parking lot. Because why? Because everybody says, okay, I got to do something. You know, or you've started your little eating plan. I don't even call it a diet. I just said, I'm going to have a plan. I hadn't even started mine. We got a birthday. We got two birthdays coming up, so they ain't even start. Now, that's rationalizing, just saying. but whatever whatever we do with our body, you can get as fit as you could be. But at the end of the day, your body is still going to get old. It's still going to wear out, and you are still going to die. Your body's going to wear out, just like your house is going to wear out. You know, when you're young, everybody says, buy a house. It's the only thing that appreciates in value. And they do appreciate in value sometimes, but they do fall apart, right? Can I get a witness? Okay. Everything deteriorates. Your car, your house, your toys, your body. And so we discipline ourselves. We take care of our house and we take care of our car and we polish and we wax up our toys and we clean our guns and we do all these different things and we take care of our house and some of us take care of our body. You know, some of you, I had this, when I was 30, my philosophy was, hey, it doesn't matter if I have high cholesterol or not. If I get hit by a car at 35, hey, no big deal. And so I ate whatever I wanted. But 20 years and a couple of daughters later, I've kind of said, oh, yeah, that's probably not a good philosophy. But regardless, some of you, that's your philosophy. You say, well, preacher said we're going to get old and die anyway. Might as well just eat whatever you want, right? So you're free. Just go ahead, okay? Now, your years may not go well, but anyway, go ahead. But whatever, but no matter what we do, whatever we do, the work is not going to last. Wouldn't it be awesome if there was something you could train? Wouldn't it be awesome if there was something that you could take care of, something that you could invest your time in and your talent in that was never going to get old, that was never going to wear out, and it was going to last forever? Wouldn't it be cool to be able to spend your time, invest your money, and pour your life into developing something that was going to live forever? That would be good. You have that. Your soul is going to exist forever. And because it is, nourish your soul. It is going to last for eternity. Your body's not going to last. Your house is not going to last. Your land, your car, your money, none of that's going to last. But your soul is going to last forever. And you should take care of it. Now, if you're not yet a Christian, if you're not yet a believer and a follower of Christ, you might be going, oh, time out. You know, Pastor, I don't, you know, I just believe you eat and be merry and then you die. Well, the Bible says that you and I, regardless of whether you're a believer or not, regardless of whether you go to heaven or not, you are going to exist forever. As a matter of fact, I know I told you to. You don't need to turn here. Let me just go to Revelation. Let me just read a couple verses. This is, and by the way, I'm going to give you the end, and Melvin's going to give you everything leading up to this, okay? So just think about this. Revelation 20, beginning verse 11. If you don't believe you're going to exist forever, listen to what it says. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And books were opened. Okay, the books were, everybody's there. The books were open. And then another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what were written in the books according to what they had done. Now watch this. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Now watch this. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Now, again, Melvin's going to give you everything leading up to that. You want to come to that. But here's what I want you to wrap your mind around. You're going to exist forever. There's no theological doctrine that says, well, eat and drink and live your life and enjoy your life and then you're going to die. And that's it. Now, if, you know, some of our friends that practice Hinduism and some of these other things, they believe you're going to keep coming back and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then some of our atheist friends think, well, this is all there is. You just died. No, no, the Word of God has spoken. Everybody is going to exist forever somewhere. And what you do with Jesus determines where. Okay? So what you decide about Jesus determines where. Now, this morning, what I want to talk about, for those of you that decide for Jesus, for those of you that say, hey, I'm going to follow Christ, what do we do with this soul? What do we do for this soul? Well, if you're back there in 1 Timothy 4, listen to verse 7 and verse 8. And we're going to bring some sense to this matter. But he says in verse 7, he says, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value. In other words, next week we're going to talk about fitness. Okay, so you can wear your buff t-shirt if that's you or whatever. So we're going to talk. Bodily training is of some value, but listen to this. Godliness is of value in every way. It holds promise for the present life. Now watch this. And for the life to come. Now, if I work really hard, I could get under that 200 number, I think. I think I could. But I couldn't stay there. Because I've been there, I just can't stay there. All right. So, I mean, there's some value in that. But if I train my soul, if you train your soul to be godly, it has value now, the scripture says, but man, it has value for eternity. And so why not invest? Why not care for something here and now that's going to have value there and then? Because everything else, or really nothing else really has that kind of value. So we need to nourish our soul. We need to take care of our soul. So again, let's look at the text one more time. We're going to pray and jump in and unpack it. But have nothing to do with irreverent and silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Pray with me. Father, what a rich text that you spoke from Paul, the Apostle Paul, that you spoke to the young preacher Timothy. That to not be focused on the irreverent, the silly, the crazy stuff going on around me, but focus on training yourself for godliness. So, Father, I would invite you to come and open our minds and our hearts this morning. And God, that you just speak into our life with some clarity and just strengthen us and help us. Lord, I pray that you'd teach us how to take care of our soul. Father, for that man, Father, for that woman, for the young person, God, for the child that's here, that's never given their life to Jesus. God, for that person that thinks, well, you know, I just believe this life is all there is. And I understand that. But Father, your word is clear, clear that everybody is going to exist forever somewhere. And Father, my hope for that guy, for that gal, for that young person, for that child, that they would decide today, if I'm going to exist for eternity somewhere, then I want to exist with God in heaven. Father, the only way to do that is to surrender their life to Christ. And so, Father, I pray that they would make that decision, that today they would decide, hey, I'm going to follow Jesus. I want a new spirit. I want a new soul. And then, Father, as we unpack this word, teach us how to take care of this precious thing called our soul. That's valuable now, but has value forever. So come meet with us, speak into our hearts, and we'll give you the glory and the honor for all you do, Father. And we pray now in the strong name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, let me give you some context, because you can't just jump in and take this verse. You got to understand, Paul's writing to the young preacher, Timothy. And the problem was that there were some people in the culture there, in that particular culture, they were having some issues in the church, and there were some issues in the culture. And people were coming along, and they were in the name of religion, and then I guess even in the name of Christianity, they were saying, well, you know, you really need to do this. And kind of the things they were talking about, two of the things that they were talking about they needed to do was, one, you need to abstain from marriage, and two, you shouldn't eat a bunch of stuff. There's a bunch of stuff you shouldn't eat. So Paul says, listen, Timothy, that is doctrine of demons. Don't listen to that. You can read about that in the first part of chapter 4. But he says, listen, have nothing to do with, in other words, separate yourself from these silly myths, this untruth that people are speaking. And rather, I want you to focus on the Word of God and focus on godliness. Now, in that context, and the reason this applies to us, while we're not all preachers, or some of us are, while we're not all preachers, we all live in a culture that has a lot of voices speaking into your life and a lot of voices that are telling you this is what you should do and this is what you should believe and this is how you should behave and this is the way you should do this and this is how you should think this. And so we've got all these voices speaking into our life, and I would say to you, what Paul said to Timothy, listen, don't pay attention to this irreverent, silly myths. Pay attention to the Word of God. And so the idea for Timothy as a young preacher, he had to train himself for godliness. And the scripture says that we are to train ourselves for godliness. And so that's the one thing that will last. When you think godliness, then I want you to, when you see that term, I want you to think soul care. Because when you care for your soul, what you're doing is you're preparing yourself for godliness. And it's the one thing that's going to last over the next couple of weeks. We're going to talk about some disciplines. Like I said, next week we're going to talk about, you know, some training or some fitness or some exercise. I don't know what the right word is, but we'll get to that next week. But today I want to talk about the issue of, the title of the message is soul food. First and foremost, if you're going to be godly and if you're going to care for your soul, then you have to feed your soul. And so just think about this. Feed your soul. It is going to last forever. Feed your soul. It is going to last forever. Now, so what would that look like? Well, first of all, we need to feed our soul diligently. Notice verse 7 says, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather train yourself. Now, the word train is in the Greek is gymnazo. You know, we get our word gym. We get our word gymnasium and our word gymnastics and a number of other words. But in the original language, it didn't mean gymnasium. You know what it meant in the original language? Scholars tell us that it meant to run naked. Gymno or gymnazo was to run naked. Kent Hughes, scholar and pastor, said this. He said the rich etymology of discipline suggests a conscious divestment of all encumbrances and then a determined investment of all one's energies. He says, just as ancient athletes discarded everything and competed gymnos, in other words, naked, so must the disciplined Christian divest himself of every association, habit, tendency, which impedes godliness. Now, here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying run naked, okay? All right, if you've been here very long, we talked about guys running without, I already talked about guys that run without their shirt, so we won't even get into that. But the idea for the athlete in that day was you strip off everything that impedes your progress. You remove it all so you can go faster, longer, and better. Well, the Bible says that we're to do the same thing. As a matter of fact, turn over to your right to Hebrews chapter 12. Listen to what it says there. It says, therefore, since we are, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. And so if we're going to run diligently, we have to set aside the stuff that is impeding our progress. Now, if you were running, it would just be excess weight, excess baggage, excess clothing and whatnot. But spiritually, there's just stuff. There's just stuff that we have in our life that we have to deal with, that we have to remove, that we have to get rid of if we're going to make spiritual progress. The last time I went to the doctor for a physical, we got to talking about some things, and he asked me about soft drinks, and did I drink soft drinks? And of course I said, yeah, Dr. Pepper. And did I drink sweet tea? And yes. And what did I drink in my coffee? And I was like, cream and sugar. And he says, well, that's empty calories. You need to get sugar out of your coffee. You need to get rid of soft drinks, and you need to quit drinking sweet tea. And so I quit drinking sweet tea, quit drinking Dr. Pepper, and quit drinking sugar in my coffee, right? Do you think I did that? Now, I've slacked up on Dr. Pepper a little bit. I don't drink sugar in my coffee anymore unless it's Starbucks, because I have to put something with that oil to get it down, you know, or whatever. But sweet tea, now I'm just saying, if it ain't sweet, it ain't tea. I don't know what it is. But it, and I know some of you have to, I know medically you have to put the sweetener in, but give me water because I'm not drinking unsweet tea. Either sweet tea or right. But here's what he said. He said those are empty calories. And then he says, Mike, he says, after you're 30, you can't out-exercise your diet. And he said, if you're going to be in control, he says, you can do all the exercises you want to, but you cannot exercise your diet. And that's true physically. That's true spiritually. You can practice the disciplines. We're going to talk about some spiritual disciplines next week and over the next couple of weeks. But you can't out-discipline, you can't out-train, you can't out-exercise your spiritual diet. So you have to decide, what am I going to feed my soul with? Well, you need to feed your soul carefully. If you're still in Hebrews, turn to the right to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, listen to, this is an incredible passage, and I wish we had time to unpack it. But listen to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, and we'll read part of verse 4. It says, His divine power has granted to us, and you, if you have the NIV, it says everything, but in the ESV, it says all things. His divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life. And here's our word, godliness. So God's divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us, and underline this, His precious and very great promises. God has given us some precious and very great promises, but we have to do something with them. Anybody remember the movie Castaway? Anybody remember the movie Castaway? It was a terrible movie, right? I mean, it just was not good. But anyway, about, I don't know, 10 or 15 years ago during the Super Bowl, by the way, Super Bowl is coming up. How about them Cowboys? I'm just saying, they're not going to make it, but hey, they did win one. But during the Super Bowl, they spoofed this commercial. Because in the movie, Tom Hanks played a guy that worked for FedEx. His plane went down. He's shipwrecked on an island for 5 years, and he's trying to survive, and he's going through all this. Well, in this commercial, this guy shows up with the package. And so can we run that video? Just check this out, and it'll make some sense.
Hi.
Hi.
I was marooned on an island for 5 years with this package. And I swore that I would deliver it to you because I work for FedEx.
That's very admirable. Thank you.
Hey, but by the way, what's in the package?
Nothing really. Just a satellite phone, GPS locator, fishing rod, water purifier, and some seeds. Just silly stuff. Thank you again. You keep up the good work.
Everything he needed was in the box. Everything he needed was in the box. The scripture says everything you need for life and godliness is in the book. Through his very great and precious promises, He has provided. So you need to be diligent to feed your soul, but you better be careful to feed your soul the Word of God. It's His great and precious promises, that we've got to have. In fact, if you're still over in 2 Peter, if you turn back to 1 Peter, listen to 1 Peter 2, verse 2. It says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk that by it you may grow up into salvation. And so it's the Word of God that is going to nourish your soul. It is the Word of God that is going to feed you. It is the Word of God that's going to help you with a life of godliness. It's the Word of God that is going to help you to live a life of faithfulness. And so you've got to feed your soul carefully. Remember what Jesus, after his temptation, remember, or Satan comes to Jesus, and Jesus said, man shall not live on bread alone, right? But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Why is that? Bread will nourish your body, but not your soul. Brisket will nourish your body, but not your soul. Dessert will nourish your body, but not your soul. If you're going to nourish your soul, you've got to give it a steady, careful diet of God's word. So you need to be careful to feed your soul. You need to be diligent to feed your soul. But also you need to be consistent when you feed your soul. If you go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4, back in 1 Timothy 4, listen, you just got to be consistent. If you decide you're going to run like a marathon, or maybe you're going to enter some kind of sporting competition, or maybe even if you get on one of these eating plans, we don't call them diets, one of these eating plans, one of the things they're going to suggest is not to eat three big meals a day, but they're going to tell you to eat 5 or 6 meals a day, and they're going to say eat smaller meals of more healthy stuff more consistently. Don't gorge yourself 2 or 3 times a day, but small healthy meals over time. You'll be more healthy. You'll be better fit. Well, if you're going to be healthy spiritually, then what you've got to do is you've got to have a consistent, healthy diet of the Word of God. You've got to be in the Word more regular. If you look at First Thessalonians. If you look at 1 Timothy 4, we didn't read this, but back up and look at verse 6. And I want to read it from the New American Standard, because listen what it says. Paul's saying to Timothy, in pointing out these things to the brethren, you'll be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. Can I ask you, can I get personal for a minute? Do you constantly nourish your soul with the Word of God? I mean, are you as faithful to nourish your soul and consistent to feed your soul the Word of God as you are to feed your mind and to feed your body and to feed your desire? Am I as consistent and faithful at feeding myself with the Word of God? That is a tremendous question that we need to be willing to ask ourselves. Because Paul said to the young preacher, listen, you should constantly nourish your soul. By the way, you know, I'm a big advocate of the quiet time. I believe every believer ought to have some time in their day when they open the Word of God and they spend time with the Lord. One of my favorite verses, in fact, if I had to pick a life verse, this would probably be one of my top 2 or 3. Psalm 16:11. Says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And so think about it. Look at that text. What God wants to do for you, what God wants to do in your soul, He wants to make known to you the path of life. God wants you to experience the fullness of joy. And God wants us to experience pleasure in this life and in the life to come. Now, the reason that you need to have a quiet time and the reason that I need to have a quiet time is not so we can get more Bible information. Now, you need the Bible. You need to read the Bible and you need to be into the Bible. But when you have a quiet time, we're not just meeting with a book. We're meeting with the God of the universe. The God that spoke heaven and earth into existence wants to make known to you the path of your life. The God that spoke the world into existence, He wants you to have fullness of joy, and He wants you to have pleasures forevermore. But the key to that is in His presence. In His presence is fullness of joy, right? At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. We're not going to have the joy and pleasure of the Lord off out there somewhere. There needs to be a place where you and I come and we come and we get alone with the Lord Jesus Christ and we get alone with His book and we open His book and we let His Spirit take His Word and speak into our life. And He'll give you direction and guidance and joy and pleasure. And it ain't just good for now. It's got value in the next life as well. So you should be consistent. We should be consistent in spending time with God. Feed your soul. It's going to last forever. Be diligent. Be careful. Be consistent. And then lastly, you should feed your soul wisely. Feed your soul wisely. Peter Lord, pastor and author, he wrote a book called Soul Care and a second book called Hearing God, really interesting readings. But he made this observation. He said, the soul is nourished and lives by the words and images that it stores. Just as what we eat determines our physical condition, the quality of our spiritual food determines our spiritual condition. You've heard that, the phrase, you are what you eat, right? If that was true, I'd either be a Chick-fil-A waffle fry or a piece of meat, a piece of brisket. I don't know what it would be. But we really are, right? I mean, that's what everybody tells us. Hey, whatever you eat, that's what you're going to become. That's true spiritually. Now, the amazing thing about eating is we can eat whatever we want. But once you swallow it, you have no control over where it goes. You have no control over where it's stored. And you have no control over what it does for you. Right? How cool would it be to be able to say, okay, 3 donuts, stomach, just send these on through. Huh? Is there an app for that? I'm looking for that, right? Or maybe just the 1st of December, like the week before Thanksgiving, you just say to your stomach, say, hey, dude, for the next 6 weeks, all the sugar just goes on through, okay? Just don't keep any of it. Good. It doesn't work that way. Once we swallow it, we lose our ability to control where it goes and how it affects us. Now listen carefully. What you take in for your soul, through your mind, and through your heart, you can take in anything you want. You can feed your soul anything you want to feed it. But once you ingest it, you have no control over where it goes, and you have no control over what it does. You can say, well, you know, it's not going to hurt to look at these pictures. It's not really a big deal. Hey, you have no control over when those pictures are coming back up. Well, it's not going to hurt. I know the song's got a lot of cuss words in it or whatever. It's not a big deal. You have no control over when that's coming up. So you need to feed your soul wisely, because once you take it in, you lose control over what it does. Your soul's going to last forever. Feed it wisely. Feed it carefully. Feed it consistently. And feed it diligently. Now, one more thought and we're done. You are forever. There will never be another you. There can be a changed you, but never a different you. You are always going to be you. And you're going to exist forever somewhere. And now you get to decide where you're going to be based on what you do with Jesus. And you get to decide what you want to be based on how you care for your soul. There's a lot of things you and I can do in 2019. But maybe the wisest thing we can do is to take care of our soul, feed it well. It's going to last forever. Would you bow with me? For just a moment, to sit tight. Just a moment. If you've never been born again, then your name's not in that book of life we started with. Your soul's going to exist forever, but not in heaven and not with Jesus. And friend, if that's you, if you've never trusted Him, my hope is that you'd be willing today to surrender your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. And my hope is that you'll do that. In just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. If you'd like someone to take God's word and show you how to be saved, we'll be happy to do that. I'll be here. AJ will be here. Jordan. We'll take God's word and we'll show you how you can know that you're going to exist forever in heaven with God. But if you're here and you're already a believer, man, my hope for you is that today you'll decide, man, this me that I am, I want it to become all that it can be. And I want to train it to be godly because it's going to last forever. And so I hope you'll commit yourself today to be in the Word. Hope you'll commit yourself today to train yourself and your soul so it'll last forever. Father, in the name of Jesus, would you have your way in every heart this morning? God, in the name of Jesus, would you have your way in every life? God, I know there's a man here that's not born again. God, I know there's a woman here that's not born again. God, I know there's some students here this morning. They've never been born again. They're going to exist forever, but not with you. And God, my prayer is that today they'll give their life to Jesus. God, many of us here, Father, we already believe. But truth be known, we're not a lot different this year than we were last year. We're about the same. Our soul's not a whole lot more developed. God, I pray that starting today, we'll nourish our soul. We'll cultivate godly life because it has value for now and forever. So Father, would you have your way in every heart? God, would you have your way in every life? We'll give you glory, we'll give you praise, we'll give you honor. Pray in Christ's name. Amen.